Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal. Welcome to Orphans No More. I'm your host, Sandra Flack of Justice for Orphans Ministry. My guests today, joining me all the way from Romania, are Scott and Carolyn Pouncey of Rock of Hope Ministries. Rock of Hope is a place where hope is rekindled in the hearts of at-risk teen Romanian girls by providing transitional living that is a safe and secure in a family-centered environment where they can learn to love and be loved, gain life skills, and receive vocational training. Welcome to the show, Scott and Carolyn.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, it's our pleasure and honor. You are both originally from the States. How long have you been in Romania, and what led you there?
We have been in Romania for 8 years. We started coming with our church on mission trips during the summer, and we were camping with orphanages, kids from orphanages in the mountains. And as we continued doing that, because we just really enjoyed that, we kept coming back every year, and we both felt the call that God was just drawing us to Romania. And as we continued to do that, we just prayed that the Lord would, you know, open a door for us, and we claimed in Psalms 90, verse 17, says, "Let the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us, establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. And that was the verse that we claimed to say, "God, we are willing to come to Romania and serve you, but you need to help us establish this work. What do you want us to do?" So in those years of coming, we started asking, you know, about the kids. So what happens as they age out of the orphanage? What type of services are there and support for them? And we were really told there really isn't any. When they're done at the orphanage, they're just done. And, you know, we looked at each other. We said, "But they can't be done. You know, when they're 18 and they haven't had a lot of life skills, what happens to them?" And that was really what led us here, a passion to be able to minister to these young women aging out of the orphanages.
So what happens to the girls who age out of orphanages?
Well, in Romania, if they're in a state-run orphanage, as soon as they turn 18 years old, depending on the orphanage, they may be put out onto the street. Mm. And here in Romania, you do not finish high school until the age of 19. So if they are in an orphanage that turns them out on their 18th birthday, they may be in the middle of their junior year of high school. And if they get released, in all likelihood, they are not going to finish school. The statistics that we know, 60% of the girls end up in prostitution. Mm. This week, we actually heard a number that can go as high as 70% of them. And they said that 70% of the boys end up in prison. Mm. So it's not a good possibility for any of these kids that have been living in the orphanages, that they don't have many job skills, they don't have the education. Those that did go to school, because they are orphans and because the society here looks down upon them, they put them into a special school where, you know, it's more like babysitting and they don't really teach them. Hmm. So they have very little going for them when they leave.
It sounds like really a bleak future for them. So
yes,
it really is.
Yeah. So Scott and Carolyn, tell us about your ministry, Rock of Hope Ministries, and the transition home that you've set up to really give these kids an opportunity at a better future.
Well, we have three of our own biological daughters, and we ended up in the States having also various other young people come and live with us. So we realized with our own daughters even that they still need so much support as young people entering into the workforce and adulthood and making adult decisions. So our passion was really to establish a family-centered home for them, a place that they could come. They could live here. They could feel that they were in a safe and secure place. And with that, to be able to facilitate inner healing, which is you know, all of these young women have the trauma of being abandoned, of being rejected, of knowing that they're really not a part of society. And most of them are very aware of that fact. And so our hope was to be able to instill in them that they have value, that they are not an accident, they are not a mistake, that God created them, and because God created them, that in and of itself is value. And so with that, part of it is really mostly in the beginning what we do with each of the girls that comes, it is just walking life, doing life with them. It is just being here. It is being a stable presence in their life. It is, you know, eating dinner together. It's talking to them about choices they're making. It's really what you do with your own children, you know, on a daily basis, or people that are in your life. You just do life with them. And it takes really, we have found, about 6 months for them to really start kind of testing the waters of whether they even trust us. And we had one young woman who told us, she said, you know, people come and they tell us that Jesus loves us, but we don't even know what love is. So how do we know what love is to know that Jesus loves us? Because what they have experienced of people who were supposed to love them, namely their parents or caregivers, were abandoned them or were abusive to them. So their concept of love is so skewed or non-existent that it takes, you know, a long time for us really to just establish a lot. Love is long-suffering. Love is being available. Love is here. Love is sacrifice. Love is discipline. You know, what does love look like? And that really is only demonstrated in those day-to-day, you know, events, those day-to-day things that you do with your children, when it talks about in Deuteronomy that, you know, you teach your children all the time as you walk on the road, as you're in bed, as you're eating, in every situation, you do that with your own families. And so we have found the best way to minister to these young women is to actually just live with them.
And how many girls have you served over the past 4 years?
We've had a total of 16 thus far. At the present time, we have 4 girls. The apartment could hold up to 8, but because it's a 4-bedroom apartment, we find that it's better for each of the girls to have their own individual room. They can decorate the room how they want, but because of some issues of them growing up in the orphanages, we find that it's better for them not to stay with another girl.
Yeah, we find, right, going along with what Scott said, that because of the orphanage setting, and some of them were, you know, 4 of them in one bed, they have lost some of the ability to identify that they are a unique individual.
Wow.
So that is part of, you know, what we try to do is give them, you know, they need responsibility for their own actions and to learn to be somewhat independent. You know, our final goal, obviously, with each of the girls is to be for them to be able to gain the confidence, the life skills, the tools to be able to live independently, knowing that there is still a ring of security around them, but so they do not become vulnerable to false promises of people on the street. There's a syndrome like lover boy syndrome, you know, who lures them usually into prostitution by being their lover boy. So we want them to be able to say, yes, I can do this, I can hold a job, I can pay for my own rent, so they are never vulnerable to the schemes of the enemy who always wants to keep them in bondage. We want them to be able to release all that bondage they've been held in and the lies that they've been told that they have no worth or value. And of course, as believers in Jesus Christ and the power of that, we believe ultimately he is the only one who can touch their souls and release them.
Amen.
So obviously, oh, excuse me.
No, go ahead. I was just, you know, I said amen because I just so agree with everything that you're saying.
We have very few rules in the apartment because of the fact that the young women have come from orphanages. Rules to them are just like, you know, so negative. I mean, it's like one of the girls told us, like, rules to them is like being in jail. So it has such a much, much harsher understanding than in our homes where we have rules, hopefully. So because of that, we try to have as few of rules as possible. We do, when we interview a young woman, we do say that we require that they go to a church. It does not have to be our church, but that they go, they attend a church, because that's part of our whole activity on Sunday, is being able to worship and then have dinner and talk about that. And so we do encourage that, but of course we don't force them to do that. And we don't require that they be believers even to be in our program. But we try to encourage them to have that relationship, because it is so powerful. When you think of the trauma that so many of these young women have experienced for years and years, and it started when they were so young, there's so many things that there's no way, even if they just received counseling without any kind of spiritual connotation, there's not enough years in their life to be able to address all of their issues.
Right.
So, you know, several of us here, you know, when we work together, we say, you know, the answer is Jesus, because he is the only one who can open up those doors and heal those deepest parts of their wounded souls. And then he calls on the church to come around them and to walk life with them and do life with them and walk beside them and teach those everyday life skills. But he is the one who can touch their souls. And that's his job. Right. And our job is to walk next to them and help them.
So do the girls have to, do they finish their education? Do they get jobs? What do you require in that area?
If they want to finish their education, we will help them in any way that we can. But they either have to be working, looking for work, or going to school. We don't want them to just sit around and not do anything.
Right.
So we have some connections. There are a number of factories on the outskirts of town. We've gotten all of the girls at the present time are all working, praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Sadly, one of the things we have found in our experience is that even the girls who have wanted to go on to further their education, as we've spent time with them and we've had some other, you know, people in the community and friends of ours work with them, their education is so incredibly lacking. Mm-hmm. It's even amazed us. We have one of our girls who's 30 years old who, I mean, they can't add. If I give her, you know, $20 and say, you know, this is going to cost you $10, how much change are you going to get? She can't tell me. And so the idea of like thinking, okay, what is really a realistic goal for her? It is not going to be to finish any more education. I mean, realistically. So then to give her the life skills, she works in a factory, to just, you know, continue in the factory, and that there's nothing wrong with working in a factory. That's an honorable profession. You're working every day, you're holding a job, you know, there's nothing degrading or wrong about not going on to do what we sometimes consider great things and getting a degree.
Right.
So some of it is even just encouraging them that wherever they're at, it's okay. Because again, they so struggle with feeling like they're not really an integral part of the community or society. It is really sad. I think we look at each other often and are just sometimes just absolutely shocked at the lack of knowledge, is that, you know, what they don't know, that we would just assume you would know.
Yeah.
And a lot of them told us, we just heard a story the other day that, you know, a young boy who's going to school, who's a gypsy, most of our girls are all gypsies, you know, because they just feel like he can't do it. The teacher does his homework because basically says he's too stupid to ever learn anyway.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, and a lot of our girls are the same thing. They know that they didn't get a very good education. They know that they were just pretty much passed. One of our girls, remember Ramona, told us, oh, it's okay, like here, I got all A's because I would help the teacher, you know, wash the blackboard. And so she would give me an A. This was in high school.
Wow.
So, you know, they struggle with those things. But we are very, very thankful that they hold jobs and they, you know, are working, as Scott said, in a factory. One of our girls works at a place that's kind of like a Toys R Us. Mm-hmm. So those are all, a couple of our girls have gone on to work as nannies or, you know, an au pair in a couple other countries. So they have used those skills of loving children. They've been done very well doing that.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, I just want to remind our listeners that you are listening to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, or orphan care, visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and my guests today joining me all the way from Romania via Skype are Scott and Carolyn Pouncey, co-founders of Rock of Hope Ministry. Rock of Hope is a place where hope is rekindled in the hearts of at-risk teen Romanian girls by providing transitional living in a safe, family-centered environment where they can learn to love and be loved, gain life skills, and receive vocational training. Welcome back, Scott and Carolyn.
Thank you.
And now the statistics are grim, as we were talking earlier, for kids who age out of orphanages, typically around, in some countries it's 16, you say in Romania it's 18 years old. They end up on the street, no money, no life skills, no job, no family, no place to go. They end up on drugs, alcohol, committing crimes, in jails. And the girls are almost always trafficked into prostitution. And there's a high rate of suicide among these kids. So share with us the impact that your ministry, Rock of Hope, has had on some of the girls that you've served.
Well, four of our previous girls are now working outside the country. We are very careful when we are trying to help them find a job outside the country because we don't want them to get into that situation that where it's not a real job. And so we have contacts in a couple of the various countries throughout Europe that where people have a real job. So it's somebody that we know, and that if we send the girls there, we know that they will be safe. One of our girls has been in London for 2 years. This is a girl who was, when she first came to us, she said she had never had a birthday party. So we put on a birthday party, and 15 minutes into the birthday party, we noticed that she wasn't even in the room anymore. And we went over to the girl's apartment next door, and she was watching television. And so she had, her social skills were so limited that she couldn't even stay at her own birthday party. And now she goes probably four times a year. She comes back to Romania to visit us, but you know, she travels on the plane, she takes a bus, she works in England. When she asked if she could go to England, we said, you know, that's no problem. The problem is that you don't speak English. But she has been able to overcome that. She is actually enrolled at the university there in London, taking English as a second language, and she's doing very well.
Oh, the girls come back.
One of the things that I count that we are doing a very good job is that at Christmas last year, 14 of the 16 previous girls either came back to visit us, or if they couldn't come back, that they called. And so for us, you know, that's a true blessing, because it tells us that, you know, they understand the idea that we accepted them as part of our family. And, you know, like when the girls call, they says, like, I want to come home for Christmas. So that tells us that they considered this their home. So even though they may be gone, they may be in another country, they may be doing many things, they still want to come back. So for us, we feel that is a major impact, because they've learned what a family is, they've learned what a home is, and that they now have the skills to be able to live and function on their own in another country.
Mm. We had two girls recently, which was, again, a blessing for us. Two girls recently write to us and tell us, thank you for what you did. They said, you helped me more than I realized at the time. And I'm still remembering some of the things that I learned when we were together. Mm. So for us, that really helps us to know that some of these things are making an impact, because it is hard to know sometimes. They can't always put into words what they're feeling. And as in any situation with all of us, sometimes we don't always know what we're learning until we've moved on, and then we can look back. Just a very short little, one of the girls, every time she would talk to me, she would always have her either her Skype up or her phone open, and she would be talking to one of her friends. And I said, you know, Rodica, it's not very polite for you to talk to me at the same time you're talking to these girls. Either hang up with them and talk to me, or, you know, wait to talk to me until you're done on your telephone call or your Skype call. And later on, a friend shared with me that she purposely does that because she wants her friends to know that she lives with a family. Mm. So she wants them to see this interaction that she and I have, so that it makes her feel like, no, this is my family. Mm. And, you know, it just, those, some of those things we don't always realize are going on, you know, things that I'm looking at as a polite or non, you know, activity or way to respond. It just reminds us how deep their need is to feel that they belong.
Mm. Yes. Mm. So now, Scott, you can relate to these girls in a unique way. Tell us what you are able to share with them.
Well, at the age of 28 days old, I was adopted. And so, you know, these girls will say, you know, when we're talking to them, especially when they're first here, you know, you don't understand, you know, I barely knew my family. I barely knew my mother. One of the girls said, you know, my mother died when I was 5.5 years old, and my father put me into the orphanage. And so you just can't understand that. And I said, well, you got to know your mother. I've never met my mother. I never met my father. I did try to look for them once we were married, but, you know, that was at a time when, you know, the adoption papers were not as open as they are today. And once we started having our own children, I it didn't matter to me that we looked back and to try to find my mother. But I can definitely relate to them because I've never met my birth family.
And one of the things, and it's, I think, the same in many Eastern European countries, is that even though we would call these girls or these children orphans, they are not true orphans. Right. Most of them, 90% of them, have families or have, and either they were taken away from their family or their parents put them in an orphanage. So there is the double, you know, rejection there. It's not just that, oh, I'm abandoned, I'm an orphan. It is actually the rejection of, you know, I could have lived with my mother, but she gave me up. Like, mm. She didn't even want me. She left me. Most of the time when it happens, they leave them at the hospital.
Yeah.
And if they find out that there are other siblings at home, why did you put me into the orphanage? And why did you keep the others at home? Mm-hmm. That's a terrible rejection for them.
Yeah, and it is, yeah, it's a very deep, deep trauma that occurs very early on, the rejection and the abandonment issue. But it does help, as Scott said, that he can say, I do know how you feel. I do know how you feel.
Wow. So as we get ready to wrap up today, Scott and Carolyn, what is on your heart that you really want our listeners to understand?
I think the biggest thing that I see with the girls, again, and I've emphasized it several times, is that they are people just like all of us, and that They did not do anything. They did not deserve, or we that grew up in families didn't merit any special favor, that we were born into an intact family or a family. You know, in the Gospel of John, when there's the story when, you know, the people take the blind man to Jesus and they say, well, who sinned, he did or his parents? And Jesus said, neither. You know, this was for God's glory. And even in the States, there are orphans, or there are those maybe in very dysfunctional families. There are kids on the fringe. We all need to be loving and kind to them, because they all feel this rejection of somehow they weren't good enough or worth it. And I think that's, for me, my passion to instill in them, and to that any of us, we're only worth it because Jesus says we're worth it.
That's right.
We didn't do anything to merit. And I always think of there, but by the grace of God go I. Mm. I could be just like them. Any one of us could be. And so it, all of us need to, when we look at people, have the respect that they are created by God just as we all are. And they need to know that. They need to know that.
Yeah.
The other thing that I would like to say, we have the one apartment here right now. We are prepared to open two more apartments next year. A second apartment exactly like this one, where it would be probably a place with four bedrooms where we could have another four girls. We have a couple that joined us in September, and that they will be the house parents for that apartment. And then the second apartment that we're trying to do, a couple of the girls have been with us between 2 and 3 years, and we feel that they are getting ready to take the next step. They may not be totally ready to be independent, and actually if we were to tell them that we wanted them to be independent, they'd be a little scared of that. But we want to open another apartment where we will help them with their rent, but that they start paying some of their own bills. They still will be involved with us as a family, but it'll be that next step, the step right before that they would become independent. We don't want them to be scared that they're just going to be all of a sudden on their own. Mm. So it would be an apartment that would be close to us. So if there's anybody who's listening who wants to get involved, the two apartments, we could definitely use some extra support.
Mm-hmm. And we're always open to having visitors come and visit us.
Well, that sounds like a wonderful opportunity, and it just sounds like you guys are going to have more opportunity to show God's love to more girls. And so, Scott and Carolyn, thank you so much for joining us today and for all that you're doing on behalf of these vulnerable girls in Romania.
Well, thank you. We appreciate the opportunity.
And to learn more about the Pouncey's ministry in Romania, you can visit their website, rockofhopeministries.org. You can find them on Facebook and maybe be praying about how you could support their ministry, or how you could even visit, go on a missions trip and get involved there. If you enjoyed the show today, you can listen to our past shows right on our website at justicefororphansny.org. Just click on Radio Show, and there you will find a list of the shows by guest, name, and topic. You can also help our radio ministry continue on the air by giving a gift to Justice for Orphans. JFO is an all-volunteer-run nonprofit, and we rely on the support of listeners like you to continue our work to rally the church for the cause of the orphan. I'm also setting up my 2017 speaking schedule, so if your church or organization would like to have me come and share, just contact me, also through our website, justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.